Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
Talk today and share a message today and share a word today. You really don't have to move. But it's fine if you want to. Anyway, so we have been talking. First, let me pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share your word. God, I ask you to give us ears to hear what you are saying, God. I ask you to anoint every word that comes out my mouth. God, that you would have your way in this place today, Father, and we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So for the last few weeks, we have been talking about what it means to walk in and live the redeemed life. And even though today's message is not part of that series, coming into an understanding and learning what our inheritance in the Lord is part of the redeemed life. And so the Bible says in Hosea, I'm just going to jump right in if y'all don't care. The Bible says in Hosea 4:6, it says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Now that's not talking about worldly knowledge. That's not talking about how many letters I can have after my name or, you know, if I'm a doctor or if I'm this or if I'm that. That's not talking about worldly knowledge. It's talking about knowledge of and obedience to the Word of God. And so that's what we want to do. That's what every single thing, honestly, that is taught and preached in this church is so that we can go deeper in the things of God and we can come into an understanding of who we are in God. And so that's what we want to do today. Now, Justin, of course, there may have been some of you, I don't know, who did not know that I was Justin's mom, that he's my son. But what most of you probably know that. Or you do at least now. So, but what you may not know is that when Justin was 2 years old, he was adopted by my husband, Sid. And so what we found out when we went through that process of adoption, I can't speak for what it's like today. I just know this is what we were told back in the day. And that is that it was impossible for an adopted child to be disinherited. And so I begin to think about that and I begin to realize, because a lot of times what is a truth in the natural is a truth in the spirit realm. It's a reflection of the spirit realm. And I begin to realize that if it's that way in the world, how much more is it that way in the kingdom of God? And so, because when you're adopted, you're taken from one family and placed in another. At that point, your inheritance changes. And ultimately and eventually, your legacy is going to change as well. And so it's the same way in the kingdom. As sons and daughters of God, when we are taken literally not just from one family to another, from one kingdom to another. We're taken from the kingdom of darkness and we're placed in the kingdom of light. And as sons and daughters of God, we cannot lose our inheritance. Now, the clincher is we decide whether or not we walk in it. We decide whether or not we're going to live and move and have our being in everything that God has for us. It's not a matter of, you know, some people have an inheritance and some people don't, or some are really believers. Some believers might have an inheritance, some don't. Some, you know, no. We all have the same inheritance in Christ the second we are born again. But we choose, we decide whether or not we're going to walk in it. I want to read something from the Passion Translation. 1 Peter 1:3-4. It should be on your screen. It says, celebrate with praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us his extravagant mercy. For his fountain of mercy was given us, his fountain of mercy has given us a new life. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen to this. We are reborn into a perfect inheritance that can never perish, never be defiled, and never diminish. It is promised and preserved forever in the heavenly realm for you, our inheritance in God. And I believe most of us, most of the church, and I'm not just talking about Red Life Church, I'm talking about the universal church. Most of the church does not understand and does not walk in its inheritance. And that's why as believers, we're called to live up here. We are called to live a victorious life. But most of us are living way down here. We're living way beneath our means because we don't know or understand what our inheritance in God is. And I believe God wants to reveal that to us. I believe God wants us to begin to lay hold of everything He has for us. And let me tell you something, it goes way deeper than just going to heaven when we die. And I don't mean just going to heaven, not that that's not like, we can't even wrap our heads around that. It's so awesome. But it goes deeper than that. It's not just that, because we don't inherit that until we die. Our bodies, our flesh has to die. But there is an inheritance that we're called to walk in day by day in our Christian walk with God. There's an inheritance that we're called to walk in, and it's about advancing the kingdom of God. It's about what God has for us as believers. Romans 8, 14 through 17. It says, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance. Some translations say the spirit of adoption, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned. For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father. Some translations say Abba God or Abba Father, and then that can be translated into Daddy, Daddy God. It's a term of affection, a term of love, a term of passion for the Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood, listen, if you get nothing else today, get this. The Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us. The Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as He whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. And since we are His true children, now listen to me. Since we are His true children, we qualify to share all His treasures. We're not going to qualify when we do it all right. We're not going to qualify when all of our little ducks are lined up in a row. We're not going to qualify when everything just goes perfect every single day and we don't have any trials and we don't have any junk, we don't have any drama going on in our lives. We qualify right now. We are qualified right now to share His treasures. All His treasures is what the Word says. For indeed, we are heirs of God Himself. This is what we've got to get a hold of, guys. We are heirs of God Himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that He is and all that He has. We will experience being co-glorified with Him, provided that we accept His sufferings as our own. Here's what we've got to understand as believers. Everything that is in Christ, everything that Christ is, we are heirs of. We are heirs of God and co-heirs of, we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus. We are called and empowered to have the same relationship, the same communication, the same fellowship with God the Father that Jesus had. And what it means to be co, it means to be meshed together. It means to be equal partners in, to share together equally. So when I say we are co, listen, don't blow that off. When I say we are co-heirs with Christ, I'm telling you, this is powerful if we could get a hold of this truth. This is a powerful truth that can change your life and change the way you think and change the way you see things. Co-heirs with Christ, joined together equally in all that that is in the Father. And I'm going to say that a lot today, all that is in the Father, because we've got to get a hold of this, church. We have got to get a hold of it. And I want you to listen to this definition of an heir. An heir is one who gets traits from a predecessor. In other words, the DNA of the one who has gone before us has been embedded or implanted in us. So the moment we are born again, the DNA of God is deposited into our spirit. The moment we're born again. Listen, I grew up with six brothers and sisters. There were seven of us all together, four boys and three girls. And everywhere I went when I was a little kid, people would, you know, almost like they didn't know personal space. And they would get right in my face and say, like, you're a Drager, aren't you? And then they would say, I could tell you were. If you've seen one, you've seen them all. The reason for that is because we have the same DNA. We share together the same DNA. So we look alike. We walk alike. We talk alike. We have the same mannerisms. I think about my own Bradley grandkids. And I look at Luca when Luca's before he got his hair cut and his hair was long. And I'm just like, he looks so much like Michaela when Michaela was that age. And I would see pictures. Luann would post pictures on Facebook and I would see, and it would be Michaela. And I would have to do a double take because it looks so much like Luca. They share the same DNA. I remember the first time I saw Olivia. They lived in Michigan at the time, so she was a newborn, obviously, but she was a few weeks old. And I remember holding her up and saying, my gosh, it's Justin in a dress. Because she looked so much like Justin, because they share the same DNA. And it works the same way in the spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, again, this is the Passion Translation. It says, now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Everything becomes new because once we're born again, we begin to take on the characteristics of the one who went before us, which is Jesus. Once we're born again, all things become new because the DNA of God is planted in us. The DNA of God is deposited in us. It begins to affect the way we think. It begins to affect the way we speak, the words that come out of our mouths. It begins to affect our heart's desire because we begin to look like the one who deposited his DNA. Amen? Listen, I'm preaching better than you're shouting in here, folks. Thank you. I almost made my signs. Good preaching, Bev. So, yeah, it's the truth. We begin to take on the characteristics of God. We begin to get our traits from God once we're born again. Now, listen to this. Another definition of an heir is one who is entitled to his property or title or who carries on in his tradition upon his death. Now, when I think about everything created, the Word of God says God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything you see, everything God created belongs to God. We don't have to worry and fret over our provision. God's got it covered. He's got it covered. But listen to this. I want to read it again. One who is entitled to his property or title and who carries on in his tradition upon his death. What was the tradition of Jesus? Let's think about it. According to the Gospels, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, loving people, restoring people, restoring the brokenhearted, redeeming broken hearts, redeeming broken lives. That was the tradition of Jesus. And in part, that's why Jesus had to die. Because that's how you inherit something. The person you inherit from has to die. Now, we know that Jesus had to die for there to be forgiveness of sins. That's what the word says. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So that forgiveness of sins is part of our inheritance in Christ. It's part of our inheritance. We need to understand we could not have inherited the character, inherited God's character. We could not have been able to partake of his divine nature. We would not be able to walk in his authority if he had not died, because he wouldn't be able to pass that on to us. We would not be able to do the greater works that John chapter 14 says we can do if he had not died. We would not be able to carry on in his tradition of healing the sick and casting out demons if he had not died. He would not have been able to hand down to us or pass down to us the mantle of authority that was upon his life if he had not died. And that, again, that's how you inherit something. The one you inherit from has to die. So what does Jesus do? Because the word of God says, I think it's in Luke, I think it's in Luke, but it talks about how when they were arresting Jesus, he said, do you think I could not call on my Father and he would at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But then he said, but then how would things happen the way they're supposed to happen if I did that? He could have walked away from that. They did not take his life. He gave his life. And the reason he gave his life is so that we could inherit all that he is. Listen, we got to get a hold of this. If we want to change the world, and I know we do, if we want to turn the world upside down, and we do, we have got to get a hold of this truth of who we are in Christ. We have got to get a hold of it. The Bible says, and this almost sounds like a contradiction, but the Bible says that Jesus, but it's not a contradiction. It says that Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers, but then it also says that he is the only begotten Son of the Father. So if he's the firstborn of many, but the only begotten, that means the rest of us were grafted in. The rest of us were adopted in. And because we've been adopted into the family, we become co-heirs with Christ, equally sharing together with Christ of all that is in the Father. Colossians 2, 9 and 10, it says, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. As his people, we have inherited all the fullness of God. Here's God, all the fullness of God, everything that means, everything that represents, all of the fullness of God is in Christ. And we have been given fullness in Christ. So in other words, all of the fullness that's in God belongs to us. That's what we inherit. The same anointing that was up on his life, that's what we inherit. All of the fullness of God that's in Christ. And like I said, we're not going to inherit it when we die. We're called to inherit it, to walk in that inheritance right now. Right now, we're called to walk in that inheritance right now. The second we're born again, all of the wholeness, all of the completeness, all of the fullness that's in God, co-heirs with Christ. Yeah, I've said it 10 times. I'm saying it again, co-heirs, equally sharing together with Christ of all that is in the Father, co-heirs with Christ. Listen to me. If you have a rich uncle who dies, and he leaves you some money at the bank. How many wish they had a rich uncle? I know I do. I don't have one that I know of. But if you have a rich uncle that dies and he leaves you some money at the bank, unless you know he has left you something, and unless you step up and identify yourself as the rightful heir, that inheritance is not going to do you or anybody around you any good, is it? Amen. It's the same way in the spirit realm. It's the same way in the kingdom. Unless we step up and we identify ourselves to the enemy, identify yourself to your situation, whatever circumstance you've got going on in your life, identify yourself to the enemy as the rightful heir. Step up, take hold of your inheritance, begin to walk in it. That's what we are called to do. But we don't do it. Why? We don't do it, most of us, most of the time. And listen, I'm talking to myself too. I'm looking in a mirror. I might as well hold a mirror right here. I'm talking to myself today too. Most of the time we don't do it because we suffer from this ungodly identity crisis. The church suffers from an identity crisis. We have forgotten who we are. We have forgotten whose we are. We have forgotten the promises of the Father. We have forgotten all of these things. We go about and we just live our lives, some of us, any old way we want to, without giving any thought to what the Spirit of God might be wanting to do in our lives. We've not identified ourselves to the enemy as the rightful heir. And as a result of that, much of the time, we just lay down and we take anything the devil dishes out. The devil comes along and whispers in your ear before you even get out of bed in the morning, be depressed today. Be offended today. Get mad at your husband today. Feel like you got a bad cold coming on today. Be tired and depressed and discouraged and defeated today. And what do? We say, okay, I'll accept that. And we just take any old thing the devil dishes out. And part of the reason we take any old thing the devil dishes out is because we don't know the truth of who we are. And if we don't know the truth of who we are, I'm telling you from personal experience, we'll believe any lie. Because it's the truth that dispels the darkness. It's the truth that dispels the lie. And if we don't know who we are, we will accept anything the devil brings our way. And that's the reason why so many of us have messes going on in our lives all the time. Listen, I hope by now you understand. I'm not talking about a name it, claim it, frame it gospel. I'm not talking about houses and cars and boats and things like that. I'm talking about the empowerment and the divine enablement to walk in the kind of freedom that Justin talked about last week. I'm talking about the empowerment and the divine enablement to walk in the kind of freedom that turns away from sin and we walk toward victory. We live a victorious life in Christ. That's what I'm talking about. The kind of freedom that reaches out to those around us and helps bring them to a place of freedom too. That's what I'm talking about. And see, understanding our inheritance puts a boldness on the inside of us. It puts a confidence on the inside of us. That we can do the things of God. We are who the Bible says we are. We are what the Bible says we are. And I'm talking about our kingdom inheritance as sons and daughters of God. How many of you are with me? Are you still with me? Well, hang on, don't go anywhere. Our kingdom inheritance as sons and daughters of God. Romans 8 tells us that all of creation is waiting eagerly for the sons of God to be revealed. It says they are waiting with eager expectation and groaning as in the pains of childbirth for the true sons of God to be revealed. All of creation, think about that. The people graduating this year, not just you guys, but I mean the whole graduating class, people who are transitioning into a new chapter, a new journey in their lives. There's people out there, guys. There's people out there everywhere that are waiting for the sons of God to be revealed, waiting for us to step up and take hold of our inheritance. And it's people from every tribe, every nation, every false religion, your New Agers, your all of these things, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed, waiting for the people of God to identify themselves as the rightful heir and take hold of their inheritance. I know I keep saying it, but because that's what we've got to do. That's what we've got to grab a hold of. In Zechariah 10, God himself promised, he said, I will make my people strong and glorious. He said he would cause his people to be like mighty warriors in battle, trampling the enemies of God under our feet. What are the enemies of God? It's not your neighbor, it's not your spouse, it's not your boss, it's not your coworkers, it's not your family that just don't get you, it's not any of those things. The enemies of God are things like fear, offense, rejection, addiction. Those are the things that are our enemies. Darkness of any kind, really the list could go on and on. But as God's people, as we begin to lay hold of our inheritance, and we're able to defeat the enemy of our soul on a deeper level than we ever thought possible and live the victorious life that God has called us to live. That is part of our inheritance. Walking in the freedom that Christ died to give us is part of our inheritance. Having the mind of Christ is part of our inheritance. Being able to take captive thoughts that are not of God is part of our inheritance. Being able to discern the difference between that which is holy and that which is defiled is part of our inheritance. The divine enablement to live a life of power and a life of love and to have a strong mental mind, that is part of our inheritance. To be able to lay hands on the sick with an expectation that they will get well, that is part of our inheritance. And the sick being healed, that's part of our inheritance. For the sick to be healed. Isaiah 61 talks about the Spirit of the Lord upon us. It was spoken about Jesus, and then Jesus agreed with it in the New Testament, agreed with what had been spoken about him in the Old. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. The Spirit of God, the presence of God resting upon us. The atmosphere of God resting upon us. That is part of our inheritance. Being able to rebuild the devastation of people's lives is part of our inheritance. And having your life, the devastation in your own life, being rebuilt by the hand of God himself is part of your inheritance. How many are with me today? Yeah. The restoration of all that the enemy has stolen, our salvation, spirit, soul, and body is part of our inheritance. No weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment will be proven to be in the wrong. That is part of our inheritance. Being set apart by God before we were ever formed in our mother's womb and being given a destiny that is God's absolute best for us, that is part of our inheritance. Being able to come before the throne of grace boldly, being able to come and having a God whose ear is inclined to the cry of our hearts, that is part of our inheritance. I believe what God wants to do, listen to me, young people, but it's not just about the young people. I believe the generation that we're in right now, it's not a 20s, 30s, 40s, or 50s something. It's everybody that's alive right now. God wants to do something through this generation greater than anything he's ever done through any previous generation. I believe that, but it's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen because we begin to know and understand who we are. We begin to walk in the inheritance that we've already been given. We're not going to be given it when we get good enough. We've already been given this inheritance from God. We just need to step up and lay hold of it. Being able to apply the shed blood of Jesus Christ to my life and watch the destroyer, watch the enemy just pass over, that's part of my inheritance. And in case you're saying, where does she get this stuff? How does she know? Straight out of the Word of God. Straight out of the Bible. Everything I've just spoken to you that I said that's part of your inheritance is straight out of the Bible. Straight out of the Word of God. Having a heart, having the heart of God revealed to me through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Being able to hear his voice. Being able to know his heart for whatever situation I'm facing. That's part of my inheritance. That's what enables me to walk in wisdom. That's what enables me to make right choices for God. To have the heart of the Father. The divine enablement. And I call it a divine enablement because I know we can't really do it in and of ourselves. But the divine enablement to live a godly life. The divine enablement to live for God and turn our back on the enemy, that is part of our inheritance. And I'm telling you, I could go on and on and on and on about our inheritance, and every last bit of it will be found right here. Amen. Right here in this Bible. We've got to know and understand. And really, for lack of a better word, step up and claim it because it is ours. Go before the throne of God. Begin to identify yourself as the rightful heir. Identify yourself as the rightful heir. And when we begin to walk in that kind of revelation, we begin to come into this understanding of who we are in God, come into this understanding of our inheritance in God, then we no longer have to be tossed to and fro. We can begin to look at our trials differently. We don't have to be over here, God, I trust you one day, and the next day, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. God, I trust you, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. We don't have to be tossed to and fro and back and forth, because we know who God is. We know what we believe. And as we begin to come into that revelation that it's Jesus himself is our inheritance. All that he is, all that he represents, all that he carried upon his life, the anointing that he carried, the authority that he carried, all that he was anointed to do, that is our inheritance. That is our inheritance. And it's time to walk in it, folks. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. That is our inheritance. As he is, so are we. That is our inheritance, the same authority, the same anointing, the same power of the Holy Spirit, the same sonship. We're not orphans. Amen. We can rejoice in that. We are not orphans. We are co-heirs with Christ of all that is in the Father. And being able to come to the table that's been prepared. Because the word of God says, He said, I have prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That means there's a place setting for you and me at the table of God. And being able to come to that table and partake of the divine nature of Jesus Christ, that is our inheritance. But unfortunately, most of us would rather eat the scraps that fall from somebody else's plate. Having our branches heavy laden with fruit. That is our inheritance. I remember one time early in my walk with God. I didn't check the time, so I hope I'm okay. I remember one time early in my walk with God. I was a baby Christian, and I went to this prophetic conference at this hotel in Owensboro, which is my hometown. And Owensboro, Kentucky. And I don't even remember who the speaker was or anything else. I just remember we were seated at these round tables because I think there was a meal involved. And we were supposed to turn to our neighbor, and they wanted you to go to somebody that you didn't know. So I turned to this lady that was next to me at the table. She was an Indian lady from India. And she was dressed, you know, in the traditional, you know, Indian clothing and all that. And so me and this lady turned to each other, and all I remember, she probably said more, but I remember she said, I see your branches heavy laden with fruit. And that went into my spirit. That word from God went into my spirit. And to this day, I still make it a prayer. God, cause my branches to be heavy laden with your fruit. Cause me to know, God, cause me to be heavy laden with your fruit, because that is inheritance. The fruit of the Spirit is the DNA of God. The character of God being deposited on the inside of us. But listen to me, some things he just deposits and some things we have to learn to develop. And the fruit has to be developed. We don't walk around discouraged and depressed and all that kind of stuff because we don't have joy. We don't lack joy because we have discouragement. We lack joy because we've not developed it as a fruit in our lives. We don't lack self-control because we keep making the same ridiculous, ungodly mistakes. We keep making the same ungodly mistakes because we lack self-control. And it's the same way. We don't walk around in fear and anxiety because we lack peace. How many of y'all know what I'm saying today? God wants us to begin to develop. We don't lack faith because we have doubt and unbelief. We have doubt and unbelief because we've not developed our faith. Amen? We've not learned to let God rule and reign over our hearts and lives. We want to escape the flames of hell, that's for sure. We want to make sure we spend eternity in heaven, that's for darn sure. But sadly, many of us don't really want to develop the Christ-like character while we're here. We want things our way, man. I believe God wants to change that. I believe God wants to flip that in our lives. And the more we see and understand and begin to take hold of our inheritance, the more freedom we're going to walk in. The freedom he talked about last week is part of our inheritance. And our inheritance is what we receive from those who went before us, right? Our legacy is what we leave those who come after us. And as I was working on this week, it came to me. So I'm going to ask the same question to you that the Holy Spirit asked me. What kind of legacy? God help us. What kind of legacy will you leave your children and your grandchildren? I want us to seriously consider that. Will we instill fear and doubt and unbelief and anxiety and anger and worry? Or will we instill faith in the power of a loving God? Will our legacy be that of just lukewarmness? Or will it be a passionate love for the one who rescued us? That's what we have to ask ourselves this morning, folks. As his people and as sons and daughters, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, we must be fully persuaded. The Bible is not a fairy tale that man made up. We must be fully persuaded that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he said he would do. In Romans 4, I think it had to do with when Abraham and Sarah, you know, they were beyond the years for childbearing and all that. But Romans 4 says that Abraham knew his body was as good as dead, but even so, he was fully persuaded that God was able and that he would fulfill the promise. And I believe God wants us to be fully persuaded today that we have an inheritance that will never perish, never spoil, and never fade. And it's time for us to walk in it, folks. It's time for us to walk in it. We need to be relentless in pursuing the presence of God. Relentless. We need to be relentless in stepping up and taking hold of what God has promised us. I want to share something with you now. I'm about to close. This inheritance that I'm talking about is for those who belong to Him. It's for those who have relationship with Him. In the natural, we don't go out and give our inheritance to a stranger on the street. It's the same way in the spirit. He's not going to give you this inheritance unless you're part of the family. Unless that DNA of God has been deposited in you. And with that being said, I want every head bowed and every eye closed. If there's anybody in this place today, you don't know where you would spend eternity. You don't know if you would spend eternity in heaven or if you would spend eternity in hell, but you want to be assured of that today, I want to see your hands. Nobody's looking around. It's between you and me and God. I see those hands. Anybody to my right, anybody in the center, you want to be assured today. You want this inheritance. This inheritance is for you, but you have to be part of the family. Anybody else wants to be sure today? I see that hand. You can put your hands down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, God. If you can, join hands with somebody around you. I want everybody to repeat this prayer after me. Father God, we come before you. God, we thank you that you are an awesome God. We thank you for your goodness. And God, right now, I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner. I acknowledge that I need a Savior. God, I repent of my sin. I turn away from my sin today. And I turn to you, God. And Jesus, I ask you right now to come and live in my heart. God, turn my world upside down in a good way. And God, we just thank you in Jesus' name for that. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand. The Bible says that every time one comes home, basically there's a party in heaven. So they're whooping it up right now. They're whooping it up there. God is a good God, isn't he? I'm not exactly sure what I want to do here. I do feel like that there might be some people that need prayer. So if God spoke something to you during that message today, I just want to...
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.